Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabraja Gacharya Sudha Sisimad His Divine Grace Sila Vecharanaravinda Sila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai His Confounder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhaktavarinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Sri Ganga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Katha. Ist da der dritte Kanto 22. Kapitel? Ja, ich brauche 3, 22, 19. 19. Let me just find out one more time. Bhakta Priya, du kannst Englisch verstehen. Gut? Fast alle. Ich kann ja einfach sprechen. Ne? Bei dir war das so ein kritisches Thema mit der englischen Sprache, oder? Ja. Das kann ich gut nachvollziehen. Ich habe das auch gehasst wie die Pest in der Schule. Wie machen wir das noch mit der Übersetzung? Ach ja, Gopabhavani. Also, Gopali, wie ist mit dir in Englisch? Nicht so gut, oder? Ja. Gaura Bhavani gibt euch nachher eine Übersetzung. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Dushtamana tumi Keshera Vaishno Pratishtaratare Nijanera Gare Tavari Nama Kevala Kaita. Today something about the glorious appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and we will start by reading from a verse and purpose about him by our beloved spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Parvate Vasudevaya. Ato payasye samayena satvin yavat tejo vrityat atmano me ato tamang paramahang samukhyan shukla proktan bahu manye vihinslan. Translation. Therefore I shall accept this chaste girl as my wife on the condition that after she bears semen from my body, I shall accept the life of devotional service, accepted by the most perfect human beings. That process was described by Lord Vishnu. It is free from envy. And these are the words of Kadama Muni, who was married to Swayambhuva Manu's daughter, Devahuti. And who became a grihastha, and after he had fulfilled his grihastha duties of raising a family, he again left for the path of the white cloud, Hare Krishna, the path of renunciation. Prabhupada. Kadama Muni expressed his desire for a very beautiful wife to Emperor Swayambhuva and accepted the emperor's daughter for marriage. Kadama Muni was in the hermitage practicing complete celibacy as a brahmachari, and although he had the desire to marry, he did not want to be a householder for the whole span of his life because he was conversant with the Vedic principles of human life. According to Vedic principles, the first part of life should be utilized in brahmacharya for the development of character and spiritual qualities. In the next part of life, one may accept a wife and beget children, but one should not beget children like cats and dogs. Kadama Muni desired to beget a child who would be a ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but should beget a child who can perform the duties of Vishnu. Otherwise, there is no need to produce children. There are two kinds of children born of good fathers. One is educated in Krishna consciousness so that he can be delivered from the clutches of Maya in that very life. And the other is a ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and teaches the world the ultimate goal of life. There are two types of good children. One is someone who is delivered from the clutches of Maya, and the other is a very exalted soul, a ray of Vishnu, ein Strahl Vishnu. And that's a personality who can deliver many, many thousands upon thousands of people in this one lifetime. As will be described in later chapters, Kadama Muni begot such a child, Kapila, the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, who enunciated the philosophy of Shankya. Great householders pray to God to send his representative so that there may be an auspicious movement in human society. This is one reason to beget a child. Another reason is that a highly enlightened parent can train a child in Krishna consciousness so that the child will not have to come back again to this miserable world. Parents should see to it that the child born of them does not enter the womb of a mother again. Unless one can train a child for liberation in that life, there's no need to marry or produce children. If human society produces children like cats and dogs for the disturbance of social order, then the world becomes hellish, as it has in this age of Kali. In this age, neither parents nor their children are trained. Both are animalistic and simply eat, sleep, mate, defend and gratify their senses. This disorder in social life cannot bring peace to human society. Kardama Muni explained beforehand that he would not associate with the girl Devahuti for the whole duration of his life. He would simply associate with her until she had a child. In other words, sex life should be utilized only to produce a nice child, not for any other purpose. Human life is especially meant for complete devotion to the service of the Lord. That is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. After fulfilling his responsibility to produce a nice child, one should take sannyas and engage in the perfectional Paramahansa stage. Paramahansa refers to the most highly elevated perfectional stage of life. There are four stages within sannyas life, and Paramahansa is the highest order. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramahansa Sanghita, the treatise for the highest class of human beings. The Paramahansa is free from envy. In other stages, even in the householder stage of life, there is competition and envy. But since the activities of the human being in the Paramahansa stage are completely engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service, there is no scope for envy. In the same order as Kardama Muni about 100 years ago, Thakur Bhaktivinoda also wanted to beget a child who could preach the philosophy and teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the fullest extent. By his prayers to the Lord, he had his child Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, who at the present moment is preaching the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya throughout the entire world through his bona fide disciples. Hare Krishna. This is a verse we could find about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Willkommen Nikraha. Sie alle sehen so aus wie nach dem Sturm, ein bisschen durchgeplustert. Hat wohl. So. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinangi Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatayane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Ananda Siyadvaita Radha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So, today on the sacred occasion of the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I will try to say something for his glorification. I'm not prepared. It is a great happiness for me to hear, just when I entered the temple room from Nishinamanda, today is, and then he didn't know appearance day or disappearance day, but we immediately found it out, the appearance day. And now, let me speak extempore, also aus dem Bauch heraus, wie man in Deutsch sagt. Srila Prabhupada was, when he was asked about his own Guru Maharaj, he said, "What can I say? He's a Vaikuntha man, a person who's not from the material, but the spiritual realm." It is the disappearance day of your tape recorder, or of your battery. what can we say that he is a Vaikuntha man? With this, he wanted to talk about the inconceivable nature of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's personality. Apparently, there were some mystical wonders around Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He appeared because his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, desired that a ray of Vishnu, that is a specifically empowered soul, would come to help him spread Krishna consciousness. At that time, Krishna consciousness was lost. It was seen as something totally immoral due to the activities of it's such an unpleasant subject, we don't even want to talk about it in great detail. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and preached Krishna consciousness with great vigor. It was not easy for him because often he was misunderstood. The teachings of a great soul, when they are in an area where totally unqualified people live, and the unqualified people will always turn against the great soul. This is symptomatic. That it has always been like this, it always will be like this. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a very, let me say, prominent acharya. A little while ago, we went to one village, and the villagers told us whenever he would come up his balcony and look over the countryside, people would see him and they would stop their activities because he was a Mahapurusha. There was an old man who told us that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had such an influence. If you just would see him, you would stop your activities. Then he would, yes. We also heard recently that once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the midnight left his house, the house which where he was working and producing books. You know, translating books and so on, seeing people. He left in midnight, and one assistant followed him. And they came on the road, and all of a sudden, some very interesting persons, which were never seen in this world, came. It seemed that they descended from heaven, and they played Madanga. They sang kirtan, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur danced in ecstasy with them. That servant had followed his master and was looking at this from behind a bush, and he saw his spiritual master with these unknown people dancing and shouting, Gauranga, Gauranga, and then came back to his... then later he asked Guru Maharaj, I have gone with you in the midnight because I was thinking maybe something would happen to you. Maybe, you never know, some dacoits would come or wild animals, and I was there prepared to protect you. But then I saw that you were meeting these people. Who were these people? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur smiled and he said, they were devotees from the higher planetary systems. They had come to Navadvip to dance and chant the glories of Gauranga. And I was meeting them to do some kirtan with them. You can see from these two episodes, I want to tell a third episode, how he is a Vaikuntha man. Once his disciples went with him through the through the countryside, and they came to what is quite often seen in India, to a sewage, open sewage system, an offenes Abwassersystem, also where the whole, you know, the sewage of the whole village was going in, and it's smell like load of Edgar Cabora. Just to remember this smell, you know, we have to quickly move on because today is a fasting day. So they all went like, ooh, and put their shutters around the noses to not smell it. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, why? We are in the holy dham. Don't you smell? It is the smell of jute and chameli flowers. Do not consider the holy dham with material eyes. This is totally wrong. So these three episodes, I just wanted to tell you, to illustrate my point. He was a Vaikuntha man, not from this world, and not with the worldly perception at all. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a great desire to spread Krishna consciousness to the Western Hemisphere. And yesterday we read about him, that he wrote a letter to his disciples saying, we must put Lord Jagannath in an airborne chariot. A chariot, you all know, eine Kutsche, eine Luftkutsche. Airborne chariot is an airplane. At that time, airplanes were not so frequent, so they were called Luftkutschen. We must take Lord Jagannath into an airborne chariot, a Luftkutsche, and bring him to London so that he can be glorified there. He had this very strong desire, and at the end of his life, he said he wants to spend 10 years in the West and preach Krishna consciousness. That would have been so nice. But he sent his dear, very dear disciple to do that later. You see, the Prabhupada's relationship with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very, unusual. He didn't see him very, very often, but he had a very transcendental relationship with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which was based mainly on Vani, or on what we have described in the last days as a form of spiritual communication. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not from this world, and the communication with him can also be not from this world. I want to talk a little bit later about the relationship of Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I'm a little bit too fast now. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was around 7 years old, he was initiated, and when he was 10 years old, he was initiated in a special mantra, the Kurma mantra. He worshipped Lord Kurma, Srila, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was seen by his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, not so much as a son. He also never saw his father as his Bapu. Bapu means father. They saw each other as transcendental associates in the spiritual world. We hear from this from the information that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a spiritual identity as Kamala Manjari, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had also a spiritual identity as Nayana Manjari. These were two totally Vaikuntha persons. That means persons who had descended from the spiritual world, and they would never see themselves according to their familiar relationship. From the very beginning of his preaching, it became clear that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a mission. A mission to fulfill in our sampradaya. When he was 7 years old, there was a very famous Vaishnava coming to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very famous, very well accomplished. And the boy came just in the distance of 100 meters, paid his obeisances and ran away. 7 years old boy. Gopali, wie alt ist die, Bill? 10. You all remember Gopali, this girl, she's 10 years. So the girls are always further than. Wie alt sind deine Kinder, Shyamala? 11. So 7 years is quite young for a boy. Do we have a boy here? Young boy? No. So then, this man who saw this extraordinary child, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati looked like a champak flower. Very gold, a golden effulgence was around him. And you know, he wanted to see the boy and you know, the extraordinary child everyone can see. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, so he asked the father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, why is this boy running away from me? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's eyes became wet. And he said, this boy is not an ordinary boy. He has made the vow to never come close to a sahajiya. You know, the mission was very, very clear that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would start to preach. I mean, if you would hear his preaching, he was empowered to bring out the path of pure Krishna consciousness, which is not polluted with material ideas and so on. It was clear to him and Bhaktivinoda Thakur that this would be one of his missions. Another mission was he was going against impersonalism, Mayavadi. Another mission was about this smarta Brahmanism. Another mission was to finally bring Krishna consciousness to the West. It was a very, very special soul who had descended from the spiritual world to accomplish this mission. Now I want to talk a little bit about the relationship to Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, today, I want to read from a lecture. Today is the 9th December 1968, that means 32 years ago in Bombay. I was then doing some business. All of a sudden, perhaps on these days, sometimes between 9 or 10 December, at that time Guru Maharaj was indisposed, little, means sick, huh? And he was staying at Jagannath Puri on the seashore. So I wrote him a letter. My dear master, your other disciples, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, they are rendering you direct service and I am a householder. I cannot live with you. I cannot serve you nicely. So I do not know how can I serve you. Simply an idea. I was thinking of serving him. How can I serve him seriously? So the reply was dated 13th December 1936. In that letter he wrote, my dear such and such, I am very glad to receive your letter. I think you should try to push our movement in English. That was his writing. And that will do good to you and to the people who will help you. And that was his instruction. And then in 1936, on the 31st December, that means just after writing this letter, he passed away. But I took that order of my spiritual master very seriously. I did not think that I'll have to do such and such thing. I was at that time a householder. This is the arrangement of Krishna. If we strictly try to serve the spiritual master, his order, then Krishna will give us all facilities. That is the secret. Although there was no possibility I never thought. But I took it a little seriously by studying a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, in connection with one verse, Vyayasayatmika Buddhya Ekeha Kurunandana, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his commentary. Now this is very important in the relationship to Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They didn't see each other very often, but Srila Prabhupada was fully convinced that through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the order of Krishna was coming. So at that time, he was a businessman. He describes his life in Bombay. It was some famous something with medicines, which he did. And he was very, very, involved in his life. But he read. He got an instruction first, and then he read in the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur something very important. He read something which would mold his whole life and connect him with his spiritual master. Prabhupada always said, I just heard yesterday a lecture where he said, this is his formula of secret, to connect himself, the secret formula, to connect himself with the order of his spiritual master. It's one of his principles. And he said, when Krishna sees this, he will give you all facilities. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his commentary that we should take up the words from the spiritual master as our life and soul. We should try to carry out the instruction, the specific instruction of the spiritual master, very rigidly, without caring for our personal benefit or loss. So I tried a little bit in that spirit. He has given me all facilities to serve him. Things have come to the stage that in this old age I have come to your country, and you are also taking this movement seriously, trying to understand it. I personally feel so enlivened to read this to all of you. All of us, we should, some of you were not at the lectures, surrender to the orders of Srila Prabhupada. His disciples are just trying to repeat his orders. We can go to Srila Prabhupada and take also these orders from his instructions as our Shiksha Guru. And in this way, you will see that in your life, everything favorable comes. My dear devotees, let us be realistic. We can't control so much of our lives. When we make plans, they often don't turn out the way we want. We wanted to celebrate a nice festival, but some of us have got some slime in the nose. A nose infection. We wanted to maybe, as grihasthas, have a happy marriage. But it's a marriage we have to work on. We wanted to maybe have a happy life, but times are getting rough. We wanted to have maybe the best weather for Nityananda's appearance day, but it was the coldest weekend which ever came. Isn't it, Nityananda? Maybe not the coldest, quite cold. Now it's warm. What can we control of our futures? What can we control of our futures? Nothing. Well, not much. But when we act according to the spiritual principle of following the orders of our spiritual master, we will see that Krishna personally makes arrangements in our lives. What could this mean here in for Goloka Dham? Goloka Dham is a pioneer community still. It's only 2 years old. But we can feel, I think, that there are many possibilities at this holy place of pilgrimage, which has become holy because of Radha Madan Mohan's presence. We can just, I feel, do our best here to satisfy Radha Madan Mohan according to the knowledge which we have received from our glorious Sampradaya. We can hope to surrender something. Yesterday I surrendered something which was very close and dear in my life to the service of Radha Madan Mohan, because I'm convinced if one just puts his life in the hands of the higher authorities and says, this is me, I'm trying to serve you, Radha Madan Mohan, according to the directions of your dear devotee Srila Prabhupada, then you will see everything will come. But if you try to control your own life and make plans, it always comes in a different way. You are an elderly gentleman, Shishtikata. I mean, you have 40 years or more, isn't it? One can see as when one gets older. Believe me, when you're young, you believe, oh yes, I'm very energetic and dynamic, and I have certainly a good portion of intelligence with me. Let me use all this and make plans. But when you look back into your life, when you're a little older and no longer so passionate in the mind, you can understand you can't really control anything. You can only hope that Krishna kindly blesses your endeavors. Nee? That Krishna gives his mercy on what you're trying to do. And Krishna will give his mercy on what you're trying to do when you do it for him under the instructions of superior authority. Look at Srila Prabhupada's example. I mean, please look at it. I'm so sorry that my mind always forgets numbers, but when did he come in the West? He was above 60, isn't it? Who remembers? 69, maybe? 69. Murari says 69. He came in this age, 69. Do you know how old this is? Wie alt bist du jetzt? 40. Nur 40? Ist jung. 30 years older. 69, you know. We are now... I don't know how old I am. I'm above 40. This much I know. Now I was 45, maybe. 45. And I feel already... it's going. Yesterday, I tried to run again. I was very good in running, and I was saying to Nishenka, I can't believe it. I'm so old. Nothing works with this body any longer. And 69, he came. And he was staying in Vrindavan. Do you know what it means if you stay for a few years in Vrindavan? Then you absolutely do not want to go. Even if you stay for 1 month, then you are in great danger to not want to go and stay. I'm afraid personally if I stay longer than 1 month, I can't guarantee anything any longer. Because one gets so totally attached that one cannot imagine to go back to the West. So he was there. But he knew my spiritual master wants me to preach. I'm now 70 years old. That's when you think of dying. But he went and and Prabhupada always was like this. He went like an innocent child through his life, knowing that I'm trying to serve my spiritual master. Now it's up to him and Krishna to make the arrangements. If you can live like this, my dear devotees, your spiritual life will be ecstatic. If you can connect yourself with the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and our Sampradaya, your life will be ecstatic. There will be no worries for you. The worry will come at the moment where you think, my own plan, my own desire, my own money, and the problems will start. Of course, each one of us, and according to his or her ashram, has to situate themselves. When we are a grihastha, we have to keep some money for us, plan our next journey, you know, plan our, you know, maybe we want to have children as grihastas, and we need to plan that there's sufficient room and milk bottles for them, and I'm not so good in planning a grihastha ashram. You know better. You will know better what to do, and so on. That is natural, but that is not. That's not something else. What we are talking about, a grihastha surrender looks different than a brahmachari's or brahmacharini's surrender. But both of them can know if they just connect themselves with the higher mission. Over the instruction, then everything goes well. And I personally think this is what we can learn from the transcendental relationship of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes. I know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself did this. He was staying in Mayapur at one time for 6 years or 9 years. I forgot, 6 or 9. And all he did was bhajan. He was so strict in his bhajan, so beyond the world, that his house was breaking down around him. He did not care. When the monsoon came, he just took an umbrella and sat underneath the roof and chanted. He was so much into the chanting, chanting in his own spiritual identity as a very dear servant of Radha and Krishna. At that time, he was, when someone saw him, they were overwhelmed, because all he did is dance and chant Gauranga, chant Radha and Krishna. All the tears of love of Godhead were flowing from his eyes. And he was not in the mood of a preacher. He was in the mood of a ghost, of a bhajanandi, relishing his ecstatic relationship with the Lord. And then after this 9 years, or 6 years, or 9 years, he started his mission and went into the mood of the preacher. I remember one time when he was opening a temple, he was carrying Radharani in the temple. And then the Bhava came over him, this is described, the ecstatic feeling of service to Radharani. He saw how the executor quickly put the deity there and go into the room. He locked it, and then what is described then only we hear from his disciples. One could hear the manifestation of the most sublime ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead, which we will be difficult to understand. It will be very difficult for us to understand. And then he came out again after the room, totally composed, to continue with the installation ceremony. These great souls should be seen as Vaikuntha personalities, and we should never make the mistake to offend them in any ways in our lives by seeing them from a mundane perspective with mundane eyes and misunderstanding their great mission in our life. So when we offend such great souls, we will be thrown away from the service of Radha and Krishna and go into some difficult area of Vaishnava apparat. It's very important that we understand the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on his Divine Appearance Day. There's a book out, Lives of the Vaishnava Acharya, A Ray of Vishnu, which has nice pictures of him. There's a puja ceremony. You see? A picture. Oh. Wonderful. Oh, didn't know that we have so many nice pictures, Bill. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're a little small. Little small. Good. I will end my lecture here because we have to go today into the ocean of preaching. It's actually a very auspicious day to start our preaching tour. We have now a 1 month tour, preaching tour. Please pray for me that we can make a revolution in Germany in this 1 month. I have great desires to bless the fallen souls, but we are so helpless. We need the help of the higher acharyas, and then only it will work. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Go Premanandi Adi Adi.